I really did not want this to be my next video, because I don't want my channel to become all about the SSPX, and I have a lot of other topics I want to get to, and I know there are a lot of people on my channel who don't necessarily care about the SSPX. However, with my last video showing how Archbishop Lefebvre was, in my opinion, not excommunicated, predictably I got a lot of comments claiming that the SSPX is in schism. This is not true. Now, it would be one thing if people would say something like, in my opinion, they are schismatic, but that's not what people say. They say they are in schism. Well, let's take a look at that. Now, I want to look at the SSPX as it stands today. After all, Catholic societies in the past have been suppressed, even disbanded, only to later return and are now in good standing, like the Jesuits. I'm not saying I believe that to be the case with the SSPX. I'm saying the past is in the past. So what St. John Paul II said in Ecclesia Dei, that the episcopal consecrations were a schismatic act, and that everyone should be aware that formal adherence to the schism is a grave offense against God and carries the penalty of excommunication, is null and void because Pope Benedict XVI lifted the excommunications of the four bishops and all ecclesiastical penalties. The Holy See, in order to reach a prompt, full, and satisfactory resolution to the original problem, has decided to reconsider the canonical situation of Bishops Bernard Follet, Bernard Tissier de Malleray, Richard Williamson, and Alfonso de Galarreta, resulting from their episcopal consecration. On the basis of the powers expressly granted to me by the Holy Father Benedict XVI, by virtue of the present decree, I remit the penalty of excommunication, laete sententia, incurred by Bishops Bernard Follet, Bernard Tissier de Malleray, Richard Williamson, and Alfonso de Galarreta, and declare by this congregation on 1 July 1988, at the same time I declare that as of today's date, the decree issued at that time, which is Ecclesia Dei, no longer has juridical effect. So if there was any kind of formal schism, it doesn't exist now. The SSPX is in an irregular canonical status, but recognized as being in the Catholic Church. Their priests are valid, but suspended ad divinis. They are disobedient to the suspension, but disobedience does not equal schism. And in 2015, Pope Francis extended faculties to absolve sins in the Sacrament of Confession to all ex-SPX priests, as well as he gave the local bishops the right to extend faculties to validly and legitimately perform the Sacrament of Marriage. Well, guess what? Priests who are suspended, let alone schismatic, can't receive faculties, even partial faculties. So I don't know that we can even say that the priests are suspended. Bishop Athanasius Snyder said, Pope Francis granted habitual, ordinary, universal faculties of confession to the priests of the SSPX, and the society priest can witness marriages with the approval of the local bishop. While the XSPS has firmly held the position that its clerics can grant valid absolution and witness marriages independent of special permission due to the ongoing crisis in the Church on the basis of supplied jurisdiction, the fact that the Pope has exercised extraordinary jurisdictional powers on the Society's behalf in recent years militates strongly against any accusation that it exists outside the Catholic Church. So why should we take Bishop Athanasius Snyder's opinion over someone like Cardinal Burke, who said that he believed that the SSPX was in schism? Because Bishop Snyder was recently sent by Pope Francis to evaluate the SSPX. So yes, his opinion should carry more weight on the subject, as should the opinion of those whose job is directly related to the SSPX. For instance, Cardinal Hoyos, who served as president of the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei from 2000 to 2009, said in an interview with Rome Reports in mid-March 2017 that the Society of St. Pius X never entered down the path of heresy. He said, quote, "They had moments where they were away, but technically they never made any complete schism or heresy. For example, they did not create a separate jurisdiction, because to create a jurisdiction outside of the jurisdiction of the Church, that means you want to separate. We are not dealing with a case of heresy. One cannot say in correct and exact terms that there is a schism." Cardinal Edward Cassidy, who is the president of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, said in 1994, "Regarding your inquiry, I would point out at once that the Directory on Ecumenism is not concerned with the Society of St. Pius X. The situation of the members of this society are in an internal matter of the Catholic Church. The society is not another church or ecclesial community in the meaning used in the directory." Count Neri Caponi who is the professor emeritus of canon law at the University of Florence, said, "The fact that Archbishop Lefebvre simply said, 'I am creating bishops in order that my priestly order can continue. They do not take the place of other bishops. I am not creating a parallel church.' Therefore, this act was not per se schismatic. The bishops of the society are auxiliary bishops for sacramental purposes only, with no real authority. They do not rival other bishops. Lefebvre was not setting up a parallel hierarchy. Because of that, according to this and many other canon lawyers, there is no schism." Now, to be fair, most people who make the charge of schism against the SSPX concede that there is no official and canonical declaration of schism against them. But they say that they're in a spirit of schism, so to speak. They have a schismatic attitude. Quite frankly, I think this is a silly argument. Again, it'd be one thing if people would say, "This is my opinion." But that's not what they say. They say, "It is a fact they are in schism." No, that's your opinion, and until the church says so officially, it remains your opinion, and only your opinion, which I happen to disagree with. And quite frankly, I say, keep your opinion to yourself. You are passing judgment on something you are not competent to judge. Now, some might say, well, since there's a chance of schism, we might as well act as if they are. On the contrary, it is a moral precept that people are to be given the benefit of the doubt in doubtful matters. And consider this. In the decree remitting the excommunications of the four bishops, we read in a letter of 15 December 2008 addressed to Cardinal Dario Castrillon Hoyos, president of the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, Monsignor Bernard Fillet, writing also in the names of the other three bishops consecrated on 30th June 1988, requested once again the removal of the excommunication late sententia formally declared by a decree of the prefect of this congregation for bishops on 1 July 1988. In his letter, Monsignor Fillet stated, among other things, that, quote, "We continue firmly resolute in our desire to remain Catholics and to put all our strength at the service of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Roman Catholic Church. We accept her teachings in a filial spirit. We firmly believe in the primacy of Peter and in his prerogatives, and for this reason, the current situation causes us much suffering." Does this sound like a schismatic attitude? Now let's look at the definition of schism, Canon 751. Schism is the refusal of submission to the Supreme Pontiff or of communion with the members of the Church subject to him. Now, if refusal to submit to the Roman Pontiff means disobedience in every single case, then consider the following. The German bishops are blessing same-sex unions against the expressed commands of Rome. After the encyclical Humana Vitae by Pope Paul VI banning contraception, the Canadian bishops issued the Winnipeg Statement in defiance of the Pope, stating, "In accord with the accepted principles of moral theology, if these persons have tried sincerely but without success to pursue a line of conduct in keeping with the given directives, they may be safely assured that whoever honestly chooses that course, which seems right to him, does so in good conscience." Are these whole countries in schism? Amazingly, when Catholics defy the Pope to promote sin, nobody cares. But the people who want to preserve the authentic Catholic faith are unacceptable. How about the many bishops, including my own, who refused to enact Traditionis Custodis? They invoked Canon 87, but the Vatican said they can't use Canon 87 and must comply, yet many still refuse to. Are they in schism? If the answer to all these is yes, well then who's not in schism? And are you running around online telling everyone they can't go to those masses because they are schismatic, and if they do, they're adhering to the schism? If the answer is no, then why are they not in schism, but the SSPX is? The SSPX recognizes Pope Francis and all previous popes as legitimate popes with real authority and submit to him except in the areas they feel the popes have overstepped their authority. And I'll get into that in my video on the crisis in the church. The Pope is not all powerful. This idea that the Pope can never be wrong and we have to obey him even when he is wrong is a new thing. We are not obligated to obey the Pope if he contradicts sacred tradition and previous dogmatic statements. Here's a real quick example. Hypothetically, if the Pope were to say, "God wills the plurality of all religions," that's heresy and we must reject it. Or if he says, divorced and remarried couples who have not received annulments can receive the sacraments, that's sacrilege and must be resisted. But is this a schismatic attitude? No. We still recognize his authority, but also recognize that he has no authority to override sacred tradition and dogma. What about the second part, or of communion with the members of the church subject to him? The SSPX recognizes the Novus Ordo as valid, its sacraments as valid, so if someone has been confirmed in the Novus Ordo and goes to an SSPX chapel for whatever reason, the SSPX will give them communion, absolution. All the sacraments you can receive in the Novus Ordo, you can receive at the SSPX. So no, they are not refusing to be in communion with members of the church subject to him. However, those who make the charge of schism where no schism exists are. So I'd be careful to claim people are in schism when the church herself doesn't even make that claim. But don't they reject the Second Vatican Council? No. They recognize the Second Vatican Council as a legitimate ecumenical council, but they also recognize that it was declared to be pastoral and not dogmatic and infallible by Popes John XXIII and Paul VI, who were the only people in the world with the authority to determine what level of authority the council would have. In his speech at the closing of the council, Pope Paul VI said the following: "There are those who ask what authority, what theological qualifications the council intended to give in its teaching, knowing that it avoided issuing solemn dogmatic definitions backed by the church's infallible teaching authority. The answer is known by those who remember the conciliar declaration of March 6, 1964, repeated on November 16, 1964. In view of the pastoral nature of the council, it avoided proclaiming in an extraordinary manner any dogmas carrying the mark of infallibility, but it still provided its teaching with the authority of the ordinary magisterium, which must be accepted with docility according to the mind of the council concerning the nature and aims of each document. Since the council was not infallible, it can be wrong, but as Pope Paul VI said, it has the weight of the ordinary magisterium, which must be adhered to and accepted unless we have grave reason to reject it. In other words, unless it can be proven incorrect. The SSPX accepts 90% of what the council says. It is the 10% that is problematic that they object to, and I'll get into that when I discuss the crisis in the church. The SSPX is more faithful to the Second Vatican Council than the majority of priests and bishops who readily accept the 10% the SSPX rejects, but constantly deny the 90% the SSPX accepts. But nobody seems to care about that. But they refuse to say the new Mass. True. They say the 1962 Missal, which, according to Pope Benedict XVI, was never abrogated. Nor was the papal bull establishing the Latin Mass quo primum. And what does quo primum say? Furthermore, by these presents, the law, in virtue of our apostolic authority, we grant and concede in perpetuity that for the chanting and reading of the Mass in any church whatsoever, this Missal is hereafter to be followed absolutely, without any scruple of conscience or fear of incurring any penalty, judgment, or censure, and may freely and lawfully be used. Nor are superiors, administrators, canons, chaplains, and other secular priests or religious or whatever title designated obliged to celebrate the Mass otherwise than as enjoined by us. We likewise declare and ordain that no one, whoever, is forced or coerced to alter this Missal, and that this present document cannot be revoked or modified, but remains always valid and retains its full force. So priests cannot be forced to say a Mass other than the Latin Mass until the end of time. That doesn't mean the new Mass is invalid or illicit. It means a priest, in private or public, cannot be forced to use it instead of the Latin Mass. However, in the 1970s, the Congregation for Divine Worship issued a letter forbidding the use of the Latin Mass. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't override a papal bull that says you can't do that. So the SSPX said no, we're going to use the 1962 Missal. And that's when they got in trouble. Everyone likes to say that we have to go to the Novus Ordo, or the extraordinary form with the FSSP, ICK, Diocesan, and others, and that the only time that we can go to the SSPX is if there is nothing else available, or if what is available is so bad, irreverent, heretical, etc., then we can go to the SSPX. But again, according to many Catholic sources, including the Pontifical Commission Ecclesia Dei, Father Z, and very recently the Archdiocese of Kansas City, the SSPX is not in schism, it's not a sin to attend their Masses, and it fulfills your Sunday obligation. Of course, there are quotes to the contrary, which means at best it is questionable, and we err on the side of liberty in questionable matters. But why isn't everyone worried about the irreverent, heretical, sometimes even blasphemous Novus Ordo masses? Not that they all are. Or why isn't everyone screaming about the heretics in the church like Father James Martin, Cardinal Supich, and others? Why aren't you telling people to avoid their masses? Why is all the ire directed towards the SSPX? And if your answer is they're in good standing and the SSPX isn't, you don't see a problem with that? You don't think there's a crisis in the church? Some say attending Mass at the SSPX can lead one into a schismatic attitude and error. Okay, the same needs to be applied to the Novus Ordo. At an SSPX Mass during the homily, I've never heard anything heretical or schismatic. I've never heard anything derogatory towards the Pope. I've never heard mention of the Second Vatican Council except twice. It was the same priest, and he said much confusion has happened in the church since Vatican II, which is, quite frankly, the truth. However, here are some of the things I have heard in the Novus Ordo. Mary sinned. You don't have to go to confession to get your sins forgiven. We will not be judged by God for sexual sins. The feeding of the multitude was actually the miracle of sharing. Once a priest assigned to my parish gave a homily telling people they can't use contraception, which is in line with church teaching. So many people complained to the bishop about it because they were using contraception that the priest got reassigned. A friend of my son wants to be Catholic and he wants to do it in the Novus Ordo. As you know, RCIA is starting up. The priest announced the inquiry session like this. If you know anyone who wants to be Catholic, please let them know. Of course, we don't want to take people from other churches. If they're happy in their church, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they need to stay there. I went to the inquiry session and the director reiterated this point twice. How does that line up with outside of the church there is no salvation? Of course, that doesn't mean non-Catholics can't be saved, but even the Second Vatican Council says this sacred council teaches that the church is necessary for salvation. Whosoever, therefore, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ, would refuse to enter or to remain in it, could not be saved. We shouldn't be trying to talk people out of joining, regardless of their motivation, to become Catholic. You don't think there are people out there who are perfectly happy with their church, but have come to the realization that Catholicism is the true religion and that they must become Catholic, even though they really don't want to? Except for those who married into the church, that's basically every conversion story I've ever heard. So you tell me which congregation has a schismatic attitude. And a lot of times when I bring these things up to people, they'll say, yes, that's a problem, but. Well, no but. Go fix the Novus Ordo before you tell me I have to go to it. And I know not every Novus Ordo church is like this, but a lot of them are, and it's a much bigger problem than the SSPX. But people don't care about that. They want to throw stones at the only group of Catholics who are fighting this while remaining Catholic. You may say there are traditional groups in good standing with the church that say the Latin Mass and avoid those heretical homilies like the FSSP, ICK, and others. Sorry, but those groups would not be around either directly or indirectly were it not for the SSPX. And I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. You can't say John Paul II said the consecration of bishops was schismatic and he warned the faithful about adhering to the schism, but when it's pointed out that those excommunications and all juridical penalties were lifted, making the document null and void, say, well, spirit of schism. But then when all this stuff in the Novus Ordo is pointed out, say, well, they're official. They've never been excommunicated or declared schismatic, so it doesn't matter. I mean, we just go in circles. And the bottom line is these people just hate the SSPX for whatever reason. Benedict XVI said in his letter to the bishops concerning the lifting of the excommunications, concerning people's attitudes towards the SSPX, quote, at times, one gets the impression that our society needs to have at least one group to which no tolerance may be shown, which one can easily attack and hate, and should someone dare to approach them, in this case the Pope, he too loses any rights to tolerance. He too can be treated hatefully without misgiving or restraint. Until my next video, God bless.